everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy, fellow Sagittarian, Tom Fairbanks. Happy birthday, Tom. I'll be a couple of weeks behind you, but it's coming.
December babies.
December babies. But you probably didn't get robbed on your birthday of, hey, we can only let you open one present because your birthday was still far enough away.
Yeah. I guess so. There's something to that.
Have a great day, Tom. It is Thursday, the first day of December 2022. It's Buckmaster on KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will do a couple of them today, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome the Lone Republican on the five-member Board of Supervisors in Pima County, Mr. Steve Christie, District 4 Supervisor. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I was surprised you didn't say that word that's so difficult, supervisorial.
Supervisorial. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was filling, and it was delightful, and it was everything that a Thanksgiving should be.
Did you eat? And you ate too much, like everybody.
And not just on Thanksgiving, but with everything else that were remnants afterwards.
Oh yeah, all the cleanup.
It goes on and on and on.
It does. It does. Let's begin with the op-ed. You have an op-ed in our friend Dan Shear's paper, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, where you say that now is the time for the city of Tucson and the Pima County Attorney's Office to join with Pima County and a nonpartisan organization, which continues to grow here in the community. I think they've got about 1,600 members and growing, called the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, to fight against crime and prosecute criminals and protect our citizens, their businesses, and their neighborhoods. What was the major point of your op-ed, Supervisor?
Well, I think that you just encapsulated it with that opening statement describing the op-ed. This is really something that's been coming along for a long time. The just awful, rampant crime and street crime that is being perpetrated upon our neighborhoods and our businesses, and all of the devastating effects that it's having. And it just seems to the business community in particular that no one is acting on it and no one is trying to cure it. And it's just getting worse and worse. And there's been several town hall type meetings where scores of business owners as well as neighborhood leaders have relayed and conveyed horror stories of what they go through on a daily basis in dealing with this crime and what it costs the community and what it costs a business and what it costs a neighborhood. One of the leaders in the movement, Josh Jacobson, he says basically it's the equivalent of a business tax being placed on businesses because they're constantly having to repair the vandalism, the theft, the damage that's being perpetrated on their businesses. And in Mr. Jacobson's case, he's one of the owners of Lucky Wishbone Chicken, and they had a plan where they would set aside certain amounts of money and put them back into the community as grants. And he said, that's gone by the wayside. We need that money to repair the vandalism and the damage and the theft and the crime that's been committed on our businesses around the city. And this is just one of many examples that the business community is going through. And it finally got to the breaking point where several community leaders, as I mentioned them in the op-ed, got together. And what they're trying to do is not only shine a light on this problem, but get the problem acknowledged by our city leaders and our county leaders and our regional leaders and try to get some sort of an effort to work together to come up with solutions to this problem. And it seems to be gaining traction. As you pointed out, they've got over 1,600 members now, and it's just grown proportionally so quickly in the last few months. And it's because people are sick and tired of the crime that is going uncontrolled and unprosecuted in our community. And it appears that the county, at least through the administration and a couple of us on the board, Chair Bronson and myself, have gotten involved in this group because we have business backgrounds, and particularly mine, and we know what it's like to have to deal with all of the challenges of owning and operating a business, and then you throw criminal activity on top of it. So this really started as a frustration on the business community and neighborhood leaders, because the criminals just seem to be taking over and running their businesses off and ruining their neighborhood's lifestyle. And they finally decided that enough is enough, and they're working very diligently to gather in a nonpartisan fashion every elected official and as well as the administrators of both the city and the county to come up with solutions to address this problem, and with the eventual hope and result of either stopping it or curtailing it in a very effective fashion. So this is a true grassroots movement, and it's one that's been needed to occur for some time now. And you can't really ignore the situation anymore, particularly when you have the size of the movement of the Crime Free Tucson organization, and it's making a difference.
And their website, if people would like more information, learn more about them, it's TucsonCrimeFree.com, or you can just contact your office, correct, Steve?
That's correct, yes. Yes.
There was one, before I leave this, you said that there is land, available land, that Pima County owns within the city that could be used as a triage center. What might that entail?
Well, it would be a secure location. It's on Mission Road, and it's, as you point out, it's a county-owned property within the city, and the county is willing to donate it or at least utilize it for this purpose. It would involve some sort of parameters or perimeters that would be a kind of a centralized staging point for folks who are committing crime, and they generally seem to be involved in homelessness. And what this would allow for is a central place for perpetrators of criminal activity to be analyzed and to be determined what kind of treatment they are. Why are they where they are? And I think that's the key, is to determine what are the causes that are leading to the criminality and the homelessness, and what can be done to help them. And there'll be obviously non-governmental organizations. One of the leading proponents is La Frontera. There'll be health, mental health experts. There'll be medical attention and treatment, and a determination could be made what we should be doing to try to help these folks. Now, they're going to be given a choice, either that they submit and accept treatment and help, or they'll be prosecuted for their crimes and go to jail.
All right. Before we switch topics, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. How about a Danish Kringle, Steve Christie, for you on your Christmas morning?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Just wonderful.
Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. We had lunch there Sunday. Really nice lunch. Had a hot chicken breast sandwich. It was absolutely delicious. Yep. They're open 6:30 through till 3, Tuesday through Saturday, 7 to 2 on Sunday. They close on Monday. Getting ready for Christmas up at Mona's. Got a lot of Christmas goodies, Christmas cookies. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, their website. And again, they're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It is December the 1st. It is now officially okay if you've been worried about, oh, maybe I better hold off on decorating for Christmas. Well, it's now okay. We're into the holiday month. Green Things all ready for you. Got some great gifts over at Zocalo Village, including those punched tin Christmas trees, which really look great. They put the light under there and it lights up beautiful. Also, the poinsettias are available at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, 13-acre site. They've got, well, several dozen greenhouses, and they were very busy growing a lot of the holiday plants, so they're there for you. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business on site, ZocaloVillage.com, open daily in their 52nd year. Let's now continue on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County Supervisor representing the 4th Supervisorial District, Mr. Steve Christie. Front page of the Star today. I'll tell you, when somebody starts talking about employing 1,000 people, well, that gets my attention, Steve Christie, and you and your colleagues will be asked, I guess, on Tuesday at the board meeting to consider a proposed lease purchase agreement with this company out of Utah, a lithium battery company. I guess it's a startup. What do you know about them?
Well, it's lithium iron phosphate battery for home and commercial energy storage systems, apparently. This has been under wraps for some time for obvious reasons, that there is a lot of disclosure issues that they don't want to have divulged at this point. But now it's public. And as it has become public, we're learning more and more about the arrangement and about the agreement and about the production elements that this company will be producing. And, you know, we've been saturated, I think, with some pretty negative and bad news for some time now on numerous levels. But when you talk about, as you say, a 1,000 employee company coming in, that's, I think, a real shining light of positivity, and I'm excited about it. We're going to look at a lot of issues, though, that just as a cursory due diligence. One of my questions is, why is it a lease purchase? Why not just a straight purchase? But then you see that there are certain levels of expectation that the county has imposed on this company to have to meet and have mileposts and things of this nature. I'm a little bit leery about that, but all in all, unless I'm not seeing all the details, and I'll certainly be asking a lot of questions on Tuesday, this sounds like just a terrific opportunity and a great deal for our region. And, of course, that Sun Corridor, I'm sure, was involved as well as this, as the county was. But gosh, you know, they're going to put in, what is it, over $1 billion?
Yeah, it's $1 billion to build what they call a giga factory complex south of the Tucson International Airport. And the company is a spinoff of energy storage systems maker Lion Energy, based up in American Fork, Utah. So I'm sure you and your colleagues will learn more about this at the Tuesday meeting.
Yeah, and it's you know, obviously a substantial investment, 267 acres in the Aerospace Research Campus. And the exciting thing is, I believe that once this is established and up and running, I can't imagine a company that would not be looking at all opportunities as they are and making the investments that they are in this, that it's got to go. But it sure would send signals out to other like industries or other related industries that here is a kind of an anchor company, a production company going in Tucson. And I think that's going to get the attention of other ancillary companies that might have some kind of connection either with lithium-based batteries or aerospace or automobiles, or, you know, all the opportunities are endless in this. Plus, when they're talking about 1,000 employees, granted, they're talking over 10 years, but that's one large movement.
How did you think the election went? I saw that you were the lone kind of holdout in formally authorizing, approving the results of the election. There was that special board meeting right before Thanksgiving. It was a 4-1 vote. What was your concern?
Well, there were a number of issues that I had First of all, we got the canvas virtually hours before the meeting, and we were expected to certify that. It's kind of one of these quirky issues that is troubling. We've been told you are supposed to certify the canvas, and by certified, people have been saying that means approve it. And if you're going to have to approve it, and you're not allowed to vote against it, why have the issue before you at all if we're going to just rubber stamp it? And so I was concerned about the timing of having to certify it versus when we actually got the canvas, and it's over almost 3,000 pages long. And that wasn't made available in any timely fashion before the meeting. So I didn't feel that very responsible that we're given less than 24 hours to review this document. Second of all, I have issues with the fact that our recorder, Ms. Cesaris Kelly, was actively electioneering on behalf of Congressman Raul Grijalva and other Democrat candidates tonight. Didn't feel that was responsible or appropriate, particularly when in her capacity as recorder, she has official oversight on all types of voting at all types of levels. And for her to, granted, she may have the legal right to do it as long as she's not using company assets, but the optics, I think, were very troubling and do not lead to trust and confidence, knowing that our county recorder is electioneering for candidates. But the main reason that I had issues with certifying was it was that there are some very stringent statutes in Arizona regulations regarding conflict of interest, and they're outlined in Title 38, and they go into great detail. And that, I think, was the issue that really struck home with me, was the current Secretary of State, who's in charge of all election activities at the state level and in all levels, including Pima County, has the opportunity to certify her own election. And there are distinct conflict of interest laws and regulations that prevent that from happening. Particularly, there's a statement regarding anyone who has an interest in this. Well, certainly, as the candidate for governor, the Secretary of State running for governor has an interest in it. And to me, I don't think there's any question that she should have recused herself.
Okay.
And that it was not following the statutes and regulations of the state of Arizona.
All right. Before we go, do you expect any of your colleagues to bring up at next Tuesday's board meeting, following the lead of Pima County Health Department Director Dr. Cullen, who is urging once again masking up for COVID here in the county?
I'm not clear on what you're asking me about my colleagues.
I'm asking if any of your colleagues might be bringing up reinstating mask updates, mask mandates. Yes, mask mandates in Pima County, following the lead and the recommendation, which is just a recommendation right now from Dr. Cullen, that folks mask up in indoor public spaces.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it were brought up. I'm hoping that it won't be, for a number of reasons. But you never know what might be brought up. But they've got kind of a deadline to bring it as an agenda item, and I haven't seen any indication or movement that's happening. But certainly, if that's brought up, there'll be a very robust discussion about that.
So what are you planning for Christmas?
Basically, a kind of a redo of Thanksgiving, just family and eating and enjoying the warmth of the season and looking forward to a new year. And oh, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, Bill, but I love being supervisor.
I have heard that before, that Steve Christie very much enjoys supervisor. I've got a few seconds here, and we'll talk. Well, actually, our next visit with you will be in the new year. But as we kind of close out this year, what's going to be the big issue? Is it going to be transportation in 2023 here locally? And I guess crime, as you talked about at the top of the program.
Yeah, I would definitely predict that homelessness, criminal activity, what we discussed about with the movement in the business and neighborhood communities to work together with elected officials and administrators, I think that's going to be the real hot button, because it is definitely out of control and it is definitely hurting businesses, people's livelihood, neighborhoods, quality of life. And the other issue is, you know, we've got some folks that are living on the street.
Real quickly.
Should not be living on the street, and they need help. And we should find ways.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you.
You too, Bill. Bye-bye.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster here at the Buckmaster Show anchor desk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City makes a great getaway, really any time of year, but I love this time of year. Everything's decorated beautifully in historic Silver City, the Victorian architecture, and real nice Christmassy feeling over there. Only a 3-hour drive to Silver City, east of Tucson. Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for more on what to do and where to stay, and some great dining as well in the area. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the Observatory in Vail, Arizona, of Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science and one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, with 23 comets, 23 notches on his comet discovery belt. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I can't be better. I'm fair. I'm doing all right.
I know. You're hanging in there, and that's all anyone can ask of you.
I was going to say I couldn't be better, but considering I'm doing pretty
considering,
good.
Considering what you've been through. And how is my favorite December constellation, Orion, doing? Which I always
assume. Coming up. I got a beautiful view of it last night.
You did?
And I'm waiting for the 13th of December, where my friends, Peter and Diane from Canada, will be with me and will be watching the Geminid meteor shower. It's going to be wonderful this year, I hope.
Just in time for my birthday on the 16th.
It celebrates your birthday.
Yeah, on the 16th of December, which is quickly approaching. Any comets of note in the merry month of December?
Yeah, there are. There is. There's one. It's called Comet ZTF. It's the Zwicky Transit Program. And I don't know what the F stands for, maybe facility. But it is brightening up, and last time my friend David and I were out at the very dark site, we saw it. And it's a lovely little comet. It's going to grow a tail, and it'll be not too far from the North Star at the end of December.
Mm.
And it should be a lot of fun. It's not going to be just visible without a telescope, but it is an interesting comet. Named after Fritz Zwicky. And the story is that when he was whispering in the hallway at Caltech, you could hear him from 2 blocks away.
Soft-spoken, eh?
Yeah.
So you mentioned meteor showers. Will they be bright?
Yeah, the Geminids are the best shower of the year. There's a law in Canada that you're not allowed to observe them because of the cold. But here in Arizona, there's no such law. And I intend to be out there at least for an hour that night looking at Geminids.
Well, when we were up in Lake Louise up in Alberta in October, it was already cold. So I can imagine what it's like right now. My wife is always saying, wouldn't it be fun to spend Christmas up there? And I'm going, well, I don't know.
Not really.
I don't think so.
Fun to be Christmas in Tucson.
Yeah, there you go. You can't beat our weather here. It's time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month. What do you have for us this month, David?
I'm glad you've given me a little extra time for it, because this is December, and you just were explaining a few minutes ago how much you love being in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And so my poem today has got to be in honor of all the snow they're getting in Canada. A lot of you know it. It's by Robert Service, The Cremation of Sam McGee. And Sam cremated him, and then he says, I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a look inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked. Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, cool and calm, in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lac La Barge I cremated Sam McGee.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. David, I want to wish
you... My uncle memorized that whole poem, not just the three stanzas, but it's the whole thing takes over 15 minutes to go through to read.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you kind of gave us the abbreviated version.
I gave us the abbreviated version.
Hey, David, happy Hanukkah to you. And
thank you so much, you know, and the best to all of you, your listeners, our listeners for the holidays, and I hope to see you back in January.
We'll see you in January. We've already got our date lined up. Thank you, David.
Okay, you take care.
Take care. All right, the attorney, the consular, Mr. Don Luce, in the house. We'll be talking about what passed, what didn't pass on those propositions next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, the people from OH Predictions. That will be very interesting. They're an Arizona-based pollster, and we'll talk to them about what happened in the election, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happened proposition-wise in the election with our friend, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix, our legal contributor, and he's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that might be a good stocking stuffer, and Estate Planning, which would also work in the stocking, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, how are you? How was Thanksgiving for you?
It was wonderful, Bill. Thanks for asking. And it's great to be back.
You didn't say the, whenever I ask, people will say, I ate too much. But that, I guess that's a
but g- it goes without saying.
It's just a given. Anyway, how'd we do on that? There were 10 ballot measures, and I assumed that ballot measures usually go down, people, maybe that's not right.
No, ballot measures usually pass.
Wow.
But not at this rate.
Mm.
This year, we had 10 ballot measures, seven of which passed. Normally, it's about 50%. This year, we're at 70%. So a larger number of ballot measures passed this year than normally. But check this out. In the last 35 years, so from 1985 through 2020, there have been 168 measures placed on the ballot. 168.
What?
Yep. And of that, 52.98% passed. So 89 passed, 79 failed. But the point being, if a measure gets on the ballot, there's a better than 50-50 chance it will pass. This year, the rate was 70%, which is kind of extraordinary. Usually, it's not that much. But maybe it had to do with the substance of the measures that were on the ballot.
And there's always a lot of kind of blowback trying to get measures. Legislature seems like trying to not get citizen measures on the ballot.
Well, so in Arizona, as you know, there are basically four ways that laws are made. One is through the legislature. Everyone, I think, understands that process fairly well. Last year, actually last legislative session, I should say, and because we have a part-time legislature, it ended late spring, early summer. There were literally hundreds of bills that were sent to the governor for signature, and the governor signed hundreds of bills. So those are all new laws. Another way that laws are created is through the courts, right? And I think the most famous decision is Roe v. Wade. That was a court-made law in interpretation of the United States Constitution. The Arizona Supreme Court does the same thing here in Arizona, as does the Court of Appeals. And then you have administrative agencies that create laws. So the Arizona Department of Revenue, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, et cetera, they create laws, right? Administrative agencies. And then the fourth way is through the electoral process, where the citizens create laws. So the citizens of the state of Arizona made seven new laws on November 8th, which was Election Day. And as I said, there were 10 measures on the ballot, seven passed, three
and
failed.
One of the big winners, and we spoke with Terry Goddard, the former Arizona Attorney General, that was Prop 209. Terry had worked so hard on that, like three different election cycles before he finally got it on the ballot. But that's that so-called banning dark money, and it was the big winner, 72% to 28%.
That proposition actually got the greatest number of votes on a percentage basis. Some of these propositions, whether they passed or they failed, it was really, really tight. I mean, within 1 or 2 points. But as you just mentioned, 209 was a landslide. It was 72%.
Another marquee measure was Prop 131. This will create, we will now join the vast majority of states, we will now have a lieutenant governor.
You know, I like this proposition because I think it makes sense to have a joint ticket for governor, lieutenant governor. In Arizona's history, on six separate occasions, the Secretary of State became governor. And in some of those instances, the Secretary of State and the governor belong to different political parties. And so you might, for instance, have a Republican governor, a Democrat Secretary of State. The governor either retires, resigns, or dies. The Secretary of State becomes governor. And then you have essentially a new political party in the executive branch. The legislative branch remains the same, of course, because you don't replace any of the senators or legislators. So it kind of, in some cases, turns politics on its head in the state because of the difference of the political parties between the Secretary of State and the governor. in the next gubernatorial election, which will be in November of 2026, we're going to have a joint ticket. The candidate running for governor will have selected a person to run as lieutenant governor from the same party. So if you vote for, let's say you vote for a Democrat, the lieutenant governor is going to be on that ticket, and you'll have essentially two candidates that you're voting for instead of one.
Hmm. That'd be the joint ticket then.
Yes. Now, you mentioned that we're joining the majority of states mm-hmm. by having a lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
45 states have lieutenant governors. Mm-hmm. Arizona is going to become the 46th state to have a lieutenant governor. So mm-hmm. we were in the distinct minority by not having a lieutenant governor. And the voters, I think, this is my personal editorial, I think wisely chose to pass this proposal. It passed by 55%. So 55% voted in favor of creating a lieutenant governor, and 45% voted against it.
What else did you, what jumped out at you of those items that passed, the seven that passed?
Okay, so there was another proposal that garnered widespread support, in fact, as much as Prop 209, and that's Prop 211, which also got 72% of the vote. Under Prop 211,
Sure.
209 got 72%, as did Prop 211. Under 209, interest rates on medical debt cannot exceed 3%.
Mm-hmm.
So Prop 209 and 211 both got the most number of votes at 72%, were widely popular, and under 209, we're not going to be seeing high interest rate medical debt, which I think anecdotally pushed some people into bankruptcy, you know, mm-hmm. because once you have debt, and this, I think in most cases, if not in all, is sort of like involuntary debt.
Of course.
And then you get charged a high rate of interest.
That could have gone to 20% in some cases.
Sometimes that interest rate alone makes it impossible to pay off
exactly.
the debt.
Exactly.
And so under this proposition, which, as I mentioned, passed by a wide margin, 3% is going to be the cap on medical debt. But the proposal does some other interesting things, also having to do sort of with money or finance. So your creditors cannot claim or take certain things from you. That's protected. One is your homestead. And it doesn't matter if judgments are entered against you, if you file bankruptcy, your homestead up to a certain dollar amount has always been protected.
Mm-hmm.
Before 209, the amount was $250,000 mm-hmm. in equity.
Mm-hmm.
209 raises that to $400,000.
Okay.
Not a double, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
There are some other exemptions that also got raised. One is for household furnishings, which went from $6,000 to $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another has to do with vehicle equity, which was increased from $6,000 to $15,000. Another had to do with the amount that you could keep in the bank without debtors attaching it, and mm-hmm. that went from $300 to $5,000.
Wow.
So as you can see, the proposition not only capped at a fairly low interest rate the interest that could be charged on medical debt,
mm-hmm.
but it also increased substantially the amount of exempt property that a debtor can keep, whether that debtor has judgments against him or her, or is in a bankruptcy situation.
Don, let's see if we can summarize the three that did not pass.
Right. So the first one failed by a pretty big margin.
Was that Prop 128?
It was.
About a 2-to-1 margin.
Yes.
Failing.
Yes.
Yeah.
64% of voters voted against 128, mm-hmm. which would have allowed the legislature to amend or repeal voter-approved ballot measures that contained certain provisions ruled unconstitutional by the Arizona Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not really sure that I didn't get the purpose of the proposal, but it didn't appeal to voters. Mm-hmm. And basically, two out of three voters said, no, mm-hmm. we're not going to pass that one. The next one that didn't pass was 309. But interestingly, if you do it strictly on a percentage for and percentage against, mm-hmm. it was 50-50.
Yeah, I see that.
1,201,000 for, 1,219,000 against.
Yep.
So the margin was less than 20,000 voters, mm-hmm. which is pretty interesting mm-hmm. and really close. Under 309, if it had passed, it would have required date of birth and voter identification for mail-in ballots and would have eliminated the two-document alternative of photo ID for in-person voting. So you and I have talked about this on past occasions. It would have raised the bar for the identification required for voting. And as I said, that was pretty much evenly divided. Less than 20,000 votes decided that out of a total of about 2.4 million votes cast. The third one that failed to pass was Prop 310, which would have created a 0.1% sales tax for 20 years to fund fire districts. And that one failed by about 4 percentage points. 52% were opposed, 48% were in favor. The ballot measure failed.
It was such a small amount to fund these fire districts. But I think if you put create, two words kind of scares voters away, create tax.
Well, and that was kind of a common theme, I thought, in these 10 ballot measures that dealt with money. The ballot measures that protected consumers and essentially were allowed people more protections passed. The ones that increased taxes or would allow the legislature to change voter initiatives failed. So in that sense, maybe it was thematic. I'm not saying for sure, but that was the sort of the takeaway that I got from looking at the 10 ballot measures and looking at the ones that passed and the ones that failed.
One that did pass, and we're basically out of time, it was 132, requiring a 60% vote to pass ballot measures to approve taxes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So that passed by a slim margin, 51% to 49%, but nonetheless, it is now one of the seven new laws that resulted from the November 8th election.
All right, Don Luce. Thank you, Don. Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He's the author of two very popular books on Arizona law. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know, and everybody should be doing their estate planning. It's always very popular, Don, at the end of the year. It seems like the perfect time to do that estate planning.
You know what it is? It's the end of the year checklist. Let's get this done.
Let's do it. Hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season.
Thanks, Bill, and the same to you.
All right. On behalf of Mr. Luce and the birthday boy, Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.